We're still in the basics, and this topic that we're going to discuss today is something that wasn't taught to us as the basics. So we'll use our Bibles. I won't rush through it. It's not the common knowledge of the things we've looked at in the first few weeks. We looked at God is a good God, right? We need to realize how good God is, or we'll never be able to trust and go to Him. And then we looked at the life that we were made for. We were made to be in relationship with Him, and to be able to go to Him because we know that He's a good God, and everything, all grace and all of that is gets strengthened by our relationship with Him and our trust in Him. And then we just looked at who we really are. It was kind of like a spirit, soul, and body teaching. But who the real us is the spirit inside of us, the one that's going to last for eternity. It's who God sees us as. So that's the real us, and we shouldn't be fooled by what our flesh tells us who we are. Okay, so then today we're going to be looking at the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is going to be some more meat, but it's basic. You know, we need to know this. So let's turn to Acts 2. And I will say in this basic teaching that we're kind of skimming the surface on this topic. And if at the end we still don't understand, if we need to know more, I can go really in depth about it. There's more that's not included in this that can be taught. I had prepared a lot to teach this previously, and it didn't happen. So reasons aren't important, but I have a lot to say about this topic. So look at Acts 2. We'll look at verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, so the day of Pentecost, that's 50 days after the resurrection. Had fully come. Fully come means the sun was fully up in the air. That's what they talk about. When they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. I'll get to that later. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we see this situation where they're all in there. It's 50 days after Christ. Christ left 40 days afterwards. So there was a 10-day period in between when Christ went back up to heaven till when this happened. And it says fire had come down, and then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. So I want you guys to see something all the way in the Old Testament. Let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I just want to read this to you, starting in verse 1. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. So, the appearance of the fire in Acts 2 is a direct correlation to the fire at the dedication of the temple that we just saw. If I read to you 1 Corinthians 6:19, just read it to you. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So the big glorious temple that Solomon made back in the day, in the Old Testament, were merely pictures of what happened. It was foreshadowing of what happened at the day of Pentecost, Once you're born again, your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. So as God came down in Solomon's temple and dwelt in that temple, that same Holy Spirit came down and dwelt in the people on that day of Pentecost. It's a direct image of those things. So we need to realize that we're not our own because you were bought at a price. What was the price that was paid for us? Jesus. Jesus was the price. Your price tag was Jesus, and God paid Jesus for you. He sowed his beloved son so that he could reap you, and he loves you the way he loves Jesus. You know, in John 17, it's when Jesus is praying, and he says, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So that's Jesus was paid for us. Okay, let's turn to Colossians 3. So Colossians 3:3 says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So when you were born again, we kind of talked about this last week. When you were born again, the old you died. And now you have a new nature. Remember us talking about that last week? And when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. That's in Romans 8:9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. So, with that being said, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. However, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a separate experience. Okay, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is what gives us power. And we're going to go through all those things. The Holy Spirit wants to indwell you and live his life through you. And this is something that's hard to understand because it's spiritual. You have the Holy Spirit when you're born again, but the Holy Spirit doesn't completely have you until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the normal Christian life is to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit right away when you're born again. However, there are cases where people hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit. That's me.
Yes. Yeah.
That's us. We read about it in the Word where people accepted the Lord and then they immediately were baptized in the Holy Spirit. But it is a separate experience. I was saved when I was a kid at the Old Baptist Church, and I didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit till I was about 50. So here I am, 52 now. Big long period without it. So let's look at Acts 10:38. This verse they read this verse when we were at Charis, and there's something I'm gonna point out to you in this verse. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. It doesn't say how God anointed Jesus of heaven, right? He's pointing to the humanity in Jesus. How God anointed Dan of paradise. You know what I mean? We're pointing at a man, not of a heavenly being. Jesus was man on earth. So how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So Jesus had to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He did not perform one miracle until he was baptized by John, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. You remember that story? So John was doing water baptisms. What was the point of water baptisms?
Repentance.
Leading people to repentance. Like, hey, change your mind about repentance. Is change your mind. That's what John the Baptist was doing for preparing the way for Jesus. Did Jesus need to change his mind? Did Jesus need to repent?
Watched him.
No, or wash? No. But he had to do this to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And God told John that when you see the Holy Spirit come down on and rest upon him, you will know who the Messiah is. And John saw that. It came down like a dove and landed on his shoulders, what the scripture says. So it was important for Jesus to be baptized in the Holy Spirit before he could perform miracles, and it's important for us as well. It's like a car without gas. It's still a car, but it can't do what it was designed to do. So think about it this way. When we receive Christ, we get a new spirit inside of us. Okay? And so let's call it that car. But then we receive, and we have that car, but that car doesn't get around unless we move it. So there's a lot of pushing. There's a lot of putting it in neutral and us doing the pushing to move it. But then we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that's like the gas for the car. And that gas, with gas in the car, now we're moving effortlessly, right? That's the power. It's his power that's moving us now. Okay, it's just an example of how to think about this. The Holy Spirit empowers and enables you to live the Christian life. And you can receive healing without being born again or baptized in the Holy Spirit. Everyone Jesus healed had not been born again or baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. However, there's a difference between experiencing healing one time and then living a lifestyle of healing and forgiveness. There was something said, there's people that don't understand this. And I heard of somebody that we used to go to church with saying, now, what is it you guys believe? Like, unless you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we don't have salvation. Is that what you think? And like, no, you got it all wrong. This is not a salvation thing. This is a power thing. Okay, so receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a power thing, not a salvation thing. You accept Jesus in your life, you're going to get salvation. We're just in Acts. Let's look at Acts 1. I'll start in 4. Now I want to start in 3 because there's something in there. It says, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. These are the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, the disciples and Mary and all the people, the brothers of Jesus, all the people that were there, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They're still thinking about, you know, the Messiah as someone who's going to take out Rome. And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The power to witness of Jesus. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the power of God to live out the Christian life, to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, and to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. This was the last thing Jesus told the disciples before he ascended into heaven. So if he knows he's going to leave and he's got, you know, maybe 3 minutes left to tell you something, this is the last thing he tells you. It's pretty important. Sometimes we can be afraid of this because they don't understand it or we had some bad experiences. But God is a good God. So he is never going to do anything that will hurt you or embarrass you. Trust in him that the Holy Spirit is his good gift to you that will help you live the Christian life. Okay, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that brings power to you is a gift from him. Okay, it's just his word is a gift to us. Salvation is a gift to us. Healing is a gift to us. Prosperity is a gift to us. It's ours if we choose to accept it. All right. Here's some notes that I'm adding. So if you look at the notes later, these are my notes that I'm adding to this. So you might want to write these down, okay? And I just want to prove to you how it's a separate experience from salvation. Okay, turn to Romans 10, We'll start in verse 9. I'll start in verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. See, 9 starts in the middle of the sentence. So I had to start in 8.
I got you.
That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you see how salvation comes? We believe it in our heart. We confess it with our mouth out loud. Okay, that's one experience, right? Okay, let's turn over to John 20. Jesus is there showing himself to his disciples. John 20, starting in verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So he just shows up in the room with them, and they're all excited because he's there. I'm starting in the wrong place. Jump to 24. Okay, verse 24. Now Thomas, called the twin, that's Didymus, that means twin. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. So what we read in Romans, didn't Thomas just confess with his mouth and believe that Jesus died and was raised and is his Savior? Isn't that what gives salvation right there by that confession?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we see that you know, Thomas is confessing that here. All right, so let's turn back to 19 where I started. I started reading the first one, but we're going to jump back here. Then the same day of the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So we just read that Thomas wasn't there, but then Thomas, 8 days later, was there, and Jesus did this. So verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. So Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? So if he said that to them, receive the Holy Spirit, why in Acts 1 does he say, don't go anywhere, wait for this? Because it's the same, it was the salvation spirit, you know, it's putting the spirit inside of them. Remember when God breathed into Adam, into his nostrils, and it gave him life? I mean, he was giving him the spirit inside of him. And if we really want to get into this, and if I'm going to teach you the in-depth teaching, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit within you and the Holy Spirit upon you. There's a difference, and we'll see it in the Word. We can really dive into that. But he was given the Holy Spirit within him, the one that we receive at salvation. Now, let's look at Acts 1, because I'm trying to make this point very clear. We'll just start in verse 4 again. We've already read it, but I want you to see this again. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he's already breathed on them, said receive the Holy Spirit, but now he's saying, wait here, because not many days from now, it's going to happen. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I said through 11. Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. There's spirit within you, there's spirit upon you, and we can really look at that if we need more on that. But that's to prove that it is a separate experience. Jesus breathed spirit into them, but then he also said, you wait here, and then we saw that the fire came down and landed upon them. Okay? All right, where was I? So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every born-again believer. That's the prerequisite. You have to have been saved. You have to be born again. You have to have the born-again spirit within you. If you're born again, you're a candidate for it, and it's a must in order to truly live out the abundant, victorious life that God has for you. And then the Lord wants to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Some say we have to wait for a long time for it. But the disciples only had to wait because it was the first time. You don't have to beg God for it. All you have to do is ask for it one time. And there's evidence of it. It gives you all the power that we'll read about. But one of it is evidenced by being able to pray in tongues. You'll get you'll be able to speak in tongues. And that's the hang-up for most people right there. That's weird. That's for the weird people. Okay, but we're going to see in the Word where it's normal, and that's the way God designed it, and there's things that our mind just can't figure out sometimes. So, but this is a spiritual thing, okay? And you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit and not speak in tongues. So with the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes all of those gifts, and speaking in tongues is one of those gifts. And it's evidence that you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But some who are baptized in the Holy Spirit don't speak in tongues because they're afraid of it. And one thing that I've heard Andrew Womack say is you don't have to speak in tongues, but you get to. There's benefits to it. So, well, we have some verses to talk about it too. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2. Like I said, this is not something that's was preached to us previously, so we really kind of have to look at the Word, trust in the Word, trust that our God is a good God, and realize that I've been missing this all along. Okay, verses 4 and 5 say, in my speech and my preaching, this is Paul speaking, right? And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We are meant to live the Christian life in the power of God. With the Holy Spirit is the supernatural, supernaturally natural way of life, to be part of your life all the time, not special times. You guys have, everyone here has known me for a long time. And I think that you could all say there was Dan, and then there was Dan who recently in the last couple of years has really started bringing the word and started, he's changed. You could probably see a change in me. And I will tell you that happened after my baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'm confessing that to you. There's, some of you guys were with me when it happened, and you can probably tell before and after, and each one of you probably have your own testimony at that. Okay. Getting back to the tongues part. Part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Different phrases to describe this: praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, speaking in tongues, or calling it your prayer language. It all means the same things. It's a spiritual language. This doctrine can be so contentious because it's powerful and the enemy doesn't want you to use it. Okay? Remember, it's a gift. Lots of people choose not to use it. They leave it on the shelf. The Word of God, our Bibles, is a gift from God so we can learn and see and hear Him for our own lives. But sometimes we just leave it on the shelf and we don't use it. We tend to use our own human wisdom. This is the same thing. So for now, forget everything that religion has taught you and let's look at what God says about it. Okay, turn to Jude. There's only one chapter in Jude, right before Revelation, but verses 20 and 21 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ until eternal life." So praying in tongues will build up your faith and keep you in the love of God. It focuses your mind on the things of God because your head doesn't understand what you're even saying or whatever. It's taking your flesh out of it and it's just your spirit speaking to Him. So this is how your spirit comes forth. Praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, whatever. That is your spirit speaking to God, and He understands. We don't. Okay? That's a one-way conversation. Okay? Our spirit speaking to Him. Now, there's gifts, there's spiritual gifts, and God can talk to us through somebody who speaks in tongues to us. That's His way of communicating to us if they have that spiritual gift. So don't get those two confused. In Acts, it said they all spoke in tongues. So this is for all. But with spiritual gifts, there's some who have, can prophesy. There's some who can heal. The 1 Corinthians 14, that whole chapter will tell you what the spiritual gifts are. But and one of them is the gift to speak in tongues. But that's different because that comes from God to edify us. The spiritual gifts are for edification of us. This right here will tell you that it edifies ourselves, and it's our conversation to Him, our spirit's conversation to Him. Okay, look, turn to Romans 8, verse 26. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." So it helps us when we simply do not know what to pray for. It's hard to know what to pray in our own language until we have prayed in the Spirit. Oral Roberts says that he doesn't even pray in English until after he prayed in the Holy Spirit because he doesn't know what to pray for. So we need the Holy Spirit to help us pray. 1 Corinthians 14, 14. "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." So when you pray in your prayer language in tongues, it's your spirit praying to God's spirit. You are praying perfect prayers. If you pray in your known language, English, sometimes those prayers are not perfect prayers because they can be affected by our flesh. Our flesh will get in the way. But a spiritual prayer, they're perfect. There's nothing in the way of that. So after praying in the Spirit, we may not even know what we're praying about, yet later God will give you answers. In 1 Corinthians 14:15, right after this verse we just read, it says, Paul says he prays in both the Spirit and he prays in both the Spirit and the understanding. So praying in the understanding isn't wrong or bad, it's just not complete. So in that part where it says and the understanding, so the part that he understands, you know, so he prays in the Spirit, which he doesn't understand, and he prays in his known language, which but it isn't wrong or bad, it's just not complete. And then in 1 Corinthians 14:18, it says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. So Paul was a religious Pharisee before he met Jesus, but he spoke in tongues more than anyone, and he ended up writing the majority of the New Testament. So where did he get all that revelation from? You know, it's when you're in that is when grace abounds, and spirit to spirit, he's getting understanding, you know, to minister all of these things. So he credits that to the understanding that in grace that God has given him. So I can attest to this. After being baptized in the Holy Spirit, there were things in the Word of God that we just couldn't understand. But after being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it really helped even in reading and understanding the Word of God. So who wrote the Bible? The Holy Spirit through men, right? The Holy Spirit guided men to write this down. So now that we're using the Holy Spirit, we have the author of this book to help us understand what does this mean? You know, oh, let me show you what this means. 1 Corinthians 2:14, Paul says that the power of God is foolishness to the natural mind. But when the Holy Spirit is involved, he will reveal the truth of the Word of God to you. So it's an easy way to think about it. I have the author of the Bible now upon me who will lead me into all truth, and he will guide me and tell me what this actually means. And then the wisdom and understanding of the Word of God becomes alive in you. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 12 this time. We were just in front. I kind of went fast there, the first part of 1 Corinthians 2. So first he said, oh wait, I skipped that part. No, I was at 1 Corinthians 2:14. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through, we're going to end up reading 6 through 12. No, probably through 16, but it's kind of broken up. So 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 8. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. This wisdom was for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. When you're praying in tongues, you're praying the hidden wisdom of God, and it reveals the hidden mysteries of God to you. God wants us to search out these mysteries for our glory. Okay? All right, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So we need the Holy Spirit to understand God, the Word of God, and who we really are. And God has prepared so many good things for us, but we don't understand them. We don't understand them unless we pray in the Spirit. The deep things of God are revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to know and understand the things that have been freely given to us by God. Salvation, the promises of God, righteousness, everything we are teaching, you need the Holy Spirit to understand these things. All right, verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. These things aren't difficult to understand. They just cannot be understood through natural understanding of human wisdom. So, you know, through human wisdom, we're kind of head scratching. But through the Spirit, we get it. We have the mind of Christ by the Holy Spirit. As you pray in the Holy Spirit, you will supernaturally know God's wisdom on things. He will show you things to come. He will warn you. He will comfort you. The Holy Spirit is very practical, and he will cause you to be victorious. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Remember, I was just telling you, that's the conversation. We're speaking to God when we do this. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. You're speaking directly, your spirit to God's spirit, even though you don't understand what you're saying with your mind. In the Spirit, you're speaking mysteries, and this is so powerful. So this is Ashley and Carly Terades, and they use Ashley as an example here. One time, Ashley was praying in the Spirit, and he called a friend, and his friend said it was as though Ashley had been listening to their private conversation. So the Spirit showed Ashley what to talk to his friend about, and he's like, how do you know that? We were like, you listening to me? It's difficult if difficult situations, after praying in the Holy Spirit, God has given answers and wise direction. And in 1 Corinthians 14:4, just two verses later, it says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So when you pray in tongues, it edifies you. It builds you up. There was a time when I heard of a situation happening down in the Bay Area. It really grieved me. It made me upset. It was like, what are we doing? You know, and I was not in a good frame of mind. And I remembered this verse, and I was driving, and I had like a half an hour drive. So I just prayed in tongues the whole time I was driving. And when I got there, I'm like, oh, wow, I'm at peace now. Like, that's the edification that I'm talking about. It's like, I was distraught. I was grieved. I was angry. It was all these things about what I had heard, what was going on. But after praying in tongues, it was like, I had this calmness and peace about me. And that is exactly what it tells you it will do for you. And then in Isaiah 28 verses 11 and 12 says, for with stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. So Isaiah was prophesying about the baptism of the Holy Spirit that came at Pentecost, that we can still have today. And praying in tongues gives you rest and refreshing. So that story I just told you about myself, that I had some rest and refreshing afterwards as well. And turn to Luke 11. I'm going to wrap it up here today. We'll start in verse 9. We'll end in 13. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, being human, right? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So that's all it takes. It's just asking him for it. And he will, if you ask, he'll give it to you. He's a good, good God. And there's some books on the table that can help explain if anyone has any questions about it. I bought a bunch of those because I planned on teaching this one day to, I handed a couple out already, but I have more. And there's a lot I can go further with this if we are interested in that. If you don't understand anything about it, we can keep talking about it. But remember, for what we're looking at, these are the basics. You know, these are the basics that we weren't taught as basics before. There's just those who don't understand it. But those verses I read, it's pretty clear to me what they say. There's no question in my heart about it. And I have my own testimony that I know that I'm different now because of it. So if you don't have this and you want this gift, it's very easy. You can have it. If you want me to go deeper in this, I can. But it's still basic doctrine. And this is where the power comes from. You know, I was born again when I was a kid in the Baptist church, and that whole time I was saved, but I wasn't really walking in any power. You know, we had sick people around us who got sick and died, and I wasn't a witness to anybody either. But we read in the Great Commission to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. How are we supposed to do that? How are we supposed to do that? We need the power of him to be able to do those things. Well, he's told us how to get the power to do those things. And so this is part of his gifts for us that we have to accept and have faith in. So we try to, we get the car, but I'd say, hey, I need you to take that car and go minister to that person. Well, I'm pushing that car because I'm using it in my own fleshly wisdom. Now I have fuel for the car. I'll just drive right over there in his power. So, you know, but like I said, it's a gift. We can choose not to use it. We can overcome things that we struggle with if we choose to use it. You know, it's right there. It's for us. Sometimes we choose other things and it's not fruitful. But we can choose this gift. It's like, don't just leave it on the shelf and don't play with that toy. You know, I got this toy and this is what I play with, but I don't play with that one. It's all of it is there for us. The abundant life, you know, he's given to us abundantly and we have it and we can use it at any time. I mean, I prayed in tongues this morning, just preparing for today. So I don't know what else to cover today as far as I just kind of went off of their basic teaching here, but there is so much more to be said about it, more examples to be used about it, and I'm willing to do that if it's needed. So anything to discuss today? Any questions, any discussions, any comments? Any testimonies?
I just agree with you that I think that the enemy doesn't want us to understand this. I mean, because, you know, I was 18 when I walked the aisle of the Baptist church and said, for all these years, never heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, when you hear about people who operate in that, you think of them as weirdos, you know, I mean, it was very much like, oh my gosh, scary, you know, or whatever. And, but I remember when we started looking, we just started reading Andrew's books and watching his podcast or listening to his podcast. when Andrew would talk about this, like Sis and I just kind of went, what? Well, if this is something that is a gift from God, then we want it. We have, so we kind of just like started pursuing it. So, and the one time that I felt, and I've already said this many, million times, is the one time I felt like the Lord, because this is our prayer language to God. We don't understand this, and the enemy wants us to think it's fake, but it's, you just have to keep doing it and believing and trusting like everything else. But we were all told to pray for Tom Morris, and I was so scared for Tom, and I was praying. I thought I have to do that, so I have to try to do the best thing, you know, so I'm going to try to pray in tongues. And I swear, I heard the Lord say, you know, I was like, don't let him die, don't let him die. And he said, you know, it's not so bad up there. And I just, but I had this peace wash over me at the same time he said that. And I just knew that that was real. And so there's a lot of times that I pray in tongues, but I wish I would remember it when I'm scared, you know, or there's like something where you're anxious about or whatever, because it is, it's powerful. It's a tool. And then we can ask for it, because that's all you're doing is asking. You're saying, Lord, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. That's all. Or Holy Spirit, please come live in my life. It's not even any kind of trick. But if we don't learn to use it as a tool, you know, have it in our tool belt all the time and use it, it's going to be, you know, not as effective. But the other thing I wanted to say, I'm sorry, Mike, is just, you know, when we read Romans 10:9, all you need to do is ask. Oh, no, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
In your heart.
In your heart.
Confess with your
mouth. Confess with your mouth. It doesn't say, and all you need to do is repent for every sin that you've. And it's funny, because to me, that's the Baptist way of saying it.
It's the road to salvation.
The road to salvation. But you have to repent. But then, you know, I started looking like when Paul and Silas or somebody was in that prison, and they were praising, and the guard was going to kill himself. And he said, how, you know, how can I have this? How can I be saved? They said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you'll be saved. You and your household. You know, so all we have to do is believe. But it seems like religion, or just our, what we believe, we've lived in belief, has made it so complicated. So anyway, just want to say that.
That was what Michael was saying. If Satan can twist what love actually means, then we're confused on what love is. And it's the same thing. Like, if we can confuse us about all this stuff and make this more complicated than the simplicity of the gospel.
And I think that we want that. Like, if somebody said, well, if you went over there and stood on your head for, you know, half hour, then you're going to get all the stuff. And we kind of like, okay, that's okay, man. That's what I'm going to do. But it's not like that. It's like, if you just believe, you just ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life or whatever, you know, he'll be there. But we want some sort of, like, I don't know, something to show us that, you know. And I'm sorry.
Nothing bad. I was just, what you were talking about, and then you brought it up about, like, we got to, like, want to use it and stuff like that. A while back when I had brought a teaching on gifts or whatnot, and kind of just pointed out the scripture shows us that we need to, like, continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be, like, seeking it out. Where Dan just read in Luke when it said, ask, knock, and seek. In the Greek language, those insinuate asking, knocking, and seeking continuously. It's a constant action that we do. So we need to continually ask, continually seek, continually knock, so that we can actively be filled with the Spirit all the time.
And one of those scriptures you read, it just sparked again. It says, when you speak in tongues, you're building yourself up in the most holy faith. You know, we're building ourselves up, and we need faith to believe all these things and to know it's true. So just even that is enough.
Well, faith comes from hearing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's when we're praying those prayer. I mean, that's when we start hearing from them. And that will be building up that faith. I agree with you there. I think that was in Jude.
Just so many benefits.
I was on a Zoom. It ended poorly with, you know, in an argument. And I went to bed, and I couldn't sleep because I was thinking about it. And I just kind of, she was sleeping and I was just kind of whispering my tongues, you know, and doing them real softly. And said, I had a full-on conversation and he showed me, you didn't need to do that. You didn't need to argue my word, you know, like it was your word. This is my word, you know, and he just told me what I could have done better. And I had perfect peace and fell
Peace.
asleep. So, you know, he showed me some truth. And another part is Jesus didn't even start his ministry until he received that power. And then he went, he got that. And then the Spirit led him to the desert to go fast and be tested. And Jesus said, you guys, you don't go anywhere or do anything until this happens. So don't even go out trying to tell people about me until after this happens, because, you know, you need this. But, you know, the way I was from, you know, a kid till now, I was like, yeah, go tell them what you know. Go be a Sunday school teacher, you know, whatever. It's like, but I should be receiving this power so I can be led into the understanding of God's word if I'm going to show it to other people. Why did Jesus have to wait for this before he could start his ministry? Why did the disciples have to wait? And but we don't wait. We're just cutting this out of the equation and then go do it in your own human wisdom. And I just think that we should use those examples as the same. And there's plenty more examples in Acts of people receiving and doing those things. So.
Well, there's one instance where Paul comes across a couple people that he says like
Have you
ask,
been?
have you heard of the Holy Spirit? They're like, we have no, who is that? We
Yeah.
haven't, and then
We did John's baptism, but we haven't even heard of that.
So he ended up baptizing them in the Holy Spirit. They had already been baptized, but I believe by Apollos, who wasn't involved with any of the like Day of Pentecost, but he had heard of John's baptism, and he was baptizing people in repentance, but didn't have that whole baptism of the Holy Spirit. So these guys were baptized in repentance, and then were going trying to share the word. And then Paul was like, "Wasn't you guys missing? You guys are missing the whole second half of this thing you're supposed to have." So,
But you have to be taught it to say these things. You
yeah, I
know a lot
mean.
about it, you don't know about it.
And this word gets confused with water baptism a lot, you know, because they just call it, sometimes they just call it baptism. But when you see what the effects of what actually happened, like, oh, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit when that happened, because they start speaking in tongues. What was that? Peter and Cornelius story, right? I mean, there was no water baptism there. It just while Peter was, you know, he's having a vision, he's in a trance to go see this devout Roman or whatever, and he goes there and to a Gentile, you know, and starts preaching to him. And while preaching to him, the whole family was saved and they started speaking in tongues. Never mentioned of any water, you know. So the order of things only needs to be first you're saved and you believe in and are born again, and then you get this. The water baptism thing. So I said this at church, you know, a year ago. There's three baptisms. There's baptisms, right? We just think about the one, but there's being baptized into the body of Christ. That's being saved. That's referenced in the words being saved. Then there's your water baptism, John's baptism, the baptism of repentance. That's our act of faith. I want to show the world that I too have died, been buried, and resurrected with Christ, and I came out anointed and a different person. And then there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Spirit, Jesus baptizes us into the Holy Spirit. So there's the three baptisms that I've referenced before, but we just hadn't been taught on all of that. So.
Yeah. And we can pray for the Holy Spirit to help us, you know, like if we lost our keys or something, we can pray and it happens. And as I shared with you, I prayed for strength the other night with Mike, you know, lifting him up, and I got it. I mean, I
I was
just
a
knew.
strong woman.
Well, it wasn't because I'm so strong though. I was like, Holy Spirit, you gotta help me do this, and I did it. So, I mean, it's real, you know, so.
I had an instance this week at work where I was like I'm not an anxious person, but I just something happened. Like, I don't know, it was just like overwhelming, and I was really, really overwhelmed. And so I just went in the bathroom and prayed. And then I even texted Dan, and I was like, I'm like, I don't know what's going on with me. I'm like feeling really, I was like in tears, and I that's not me normally. And so he's like, pray in tongues. I'm like, I already did, and I'm like, feel better. But yeah, it is real.
When I pray in tongues, most thing I think about is I sound weird, and this is weird. And because that's my human brain getting in the way of trying to seeing my spirit pray to God spirit, you know. So that's perfectly normal because that's our flesh in us.
Yeah,
You
that's the
know, what
hangup
the
for
heck?
sure. And
Yeah.
everybody's prayer language sounds different. I remember one time Bo, he went to a like a youth camp, and he was totally not a tongue talking. He didn't even believe in that. Well, he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he called me from the camp. He was so excited because he said, "Mom, I'm speaking in tongues. It sounds like Morse code." And it did, because I remember being at a church beside him, and he'd go into tongues, and it sounded just like Morse code. You know, it was clicks and pops.
Well, there's people that speak it.
Yeah.
There's many different languages, and God knows what they are. We don't. You know, I sound either Asian or Navajo. I don't know.
It's Navajo.
Not,
It's
if,
old,
yeah, I don't
it's old
know.
Navajo.
Chief Janet Perry.
Yeah, I don't know, but all I think about is when I do is like, this sounds weird. How come I don't sound like the other people with the. Yeah, I hear those and I'm like, okay, they all sound similar. Mine sounds like an oddball thing.
Now I remember standing next to Bobby. I'm like, why do you sound so beautiful? And I sound like an Asian.
Let's see. And then, so I have a story about that too, because when we were learning, me and Deanna, and I had hurt my wrist, and I was like, oh my God, will you please come over and pray for me? Because, because for you. Okay. Because I'm hurting so bad. So she came over and she prayed for me. She prayed for me in tongues. And when she was done, I said, oh my gosh, that was so beautiful. And then she said it sounded weird to her. And then when we were together and I was praying off in tongues with you, and I felt stupid, and he said, that sounded so beautiful. So I think it's our spirit hearing the spirit. I mean, I think it's a total different thing. I
Yeah,
think
it's
it's not
your
a,
language.
yeah,
It's
it's not
so
a
well,
her
my spirit
heart thing.
recognizes your spirit is doing
And it
is
sounds
a
beautiful.
beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
But my human flesh hearing my spirit, it doesn't make it. It's foolishness, is what the
Yeah.
word said.
And it adds to it, right? Because when I left Crocker Christian Fellowship the first time, I got introduced to some Holy Spirit filled people, and they took me to a Bible study. And I remember thinking, Lord, I want everything you've got. If it's being down, if you want to knock me out in the spirit, and I'm laying there knocked, I want it. If it's tongues, I want it. And we're sitting at this Bible study, and they are praying for somebody, and they were saying, Holy Spirit, come, come. And I'm just like praying for the guy, and the next thing you know, pow. I mean, it was like I remember the words, Allah Chandra. That's what I got, Allah Chandra. And so I looked at my friend, and I go, hey, I'm speaking in tongues. And she stopped the whole Bible study and said, Jennifer just got tongues. And so it was a really good thing, because the guy that was leading the Bible study said, I want to tell you right now, we're all going to pray in tongues with you, because he said, you're going to leave and the devil's going to tell you that wasn't real, but I'm going to tell you it was. And so you might start out with just a couple of, like me, Allah Chandra, and it just keeps you, the Holy Spirit will help you. It'll just add to it. You're just not going to keep, but for the longest time, that's, and you know, when I went to work for Andrew Womack Ministries in the prayer room, the first teaching that I was on the phones was the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and that phone was ringing. People wanted to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they wanted to talk in tongues, but they didn't know how. You know, you just have to start somewhere, even if it's just a couple. Well, you're not going to just flow. I didn't pray for anybody that just took off and was like, ugh.
Yeah, I mean, they've said like if if you don't, just hallelujah,
Yeah, that's how
hallelujah,
people do.
hallelujah, hallelujah. You know what I mean? Just start there and like
It's
it
like a
just like,
baby, goo goo gaga, goo goo gaga.
yeah.
You know, it's like you're starting your language. It's the same
When
principle.
I went to Karis for Healing Is Here, like I went and the ladies had gone to Riverside already and I had heard about it and I was like, man, that sounds awesome. So when I went to Karis for Healing Is Here with Stacy, Mom, and Andy, I was like, I want everything they have to offer. Anything they got, I
You're
want it.
taking
I'm taking it. I want healing. I want this. I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want it all. And I think going in that way of wanting it, like I want it and I want it. Anything you have to give to me, Lord, I want it. I'm just gonna give it to you. And it reminded me of your story. Like, you
yeah.
wanted it too.
It was
So
like I was going baptizing the Lutheran. It was just like I had
yeah.
spoke to God about it, but it just pow.
Yeah, and there's times when I'm doing it, I'm like, I'm just singing to him. I know this is a song. I know that, I'm praising him in this language right now.
I think that makes yours more special in a sense, because I have not heard anything like yours before either. And so I just think
It's weird in my head.
well, it's not Morse code though,
Yeah.
but yeah, but it's Morse code.
Yeah. But it's a matter, I think the desire in your heart to want those gifts and those things that he has for us makes a difference. If you were just say like, Lord, will you give this to me? Like, well, how bad do you really want it if that's how you're asking for it? I think that makes a difference. I don't see it in the word, but it just that's
Exactly.
kind of like my
The
testimony.
desires of your heart.
Yeah. So we'll call it.
I
Oh.
should,
They're so cute.
we could do this after we hang up or whatever, but I really think that we should pray for a few things. Carolyn's brother, Cindy Mars, she's going in for a biopsy on her lung.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we got to spend together. Thank you for this word that Dan brought. Just pray that you put it on our hearts, Lord, and let us receive this word that you brought with open hearts and open mind. I want to lift up Carolyn's brother. Just ask for continued healing. Keep your angels with them, Lord. I want to lift up Cindy as she's going in for a procedure. We just ask that you bring your healing hand upon her and that situation as she goes in. Just lift up anyone right now that is sick and anybody that's not mentioned, Lord. We just ask for your power to be with them and heal them and give them peace. Lift all these things up in your name. Amen.
Amen.